Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You mind reading it with me? I'll give the reference. Here we go. Ephesians 5:8. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Let's try it once more. Ephesians 5:8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Good. Two words that I want to teach this morning, real quickly, in the Sunday school hour. Some of you would already be familiar with these words. For others of you, maybe not so much, but they're good words and they're important words. The first word is the word justification. The word justification means to be declared righteous. Justification is what happens when a person accepts Christ as a Savior. The moment a person realizing themselves a sinner who turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and receives Christ and what he did on the cross to be enough for them, and they accept Christ as their Savior, here's one of the things that happens. In that moment, the Bible says that God justifies us. That is, that he declares us to be righteous. In that moment, he says, "Your sins are washed, they're covered. I give to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ." And we are by God declared to be righteous. That is, we are justified. So justification means to be declared righteous. It happens the moment you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. It is done and done. It is totally the work of God that he does for us as we accept Christ. So justification, to be declared righteous. So let me ask, because it's Sunday school and I want to make sure you're getting this. What does justification mean? To be declared righteous. That's how we'll say it. To be declared righteous. What does justification mean? Okay. It's the act of God. It happens the moment we trust Christ. It is done and done. Without it, we do not have everlasting life. God gives to us the righteousness of Christ. We are declared to be righteous. Second word that is a good word, sounds similar, means something a little bit different, but it's still important, is the word sanctification. Now, sanctification sounds like justification, but they mean different things. Justification, declared righteous. It's what God does when a person accepts Christ as Savior. Our sins are forgiven. We are declared by God to be righteous, given the righteousness of Christ. Happens in that moment. Sanctification is a process where over time, I begin to live like what I am as a justified person. That is, that I begin to be more and more like Jesus Christ. I've been justified by faith in Christ. God declares me to be righteous. From that point on, it has been determined by God. Now, this is important. Please don't miss it. It has been predetermined by God. It has been predestinated. It is our destiny once we accept Christ and are justified. It has been predetermined by God that I will be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is what God calls sanctification. And it's a process that happens over time. And it's an important process. And it is the will of God for every person that has been justified. Now, a couple things. Listen carefully, please. Number one, justification, being declared righteous, does not happen because I am changing. In other words, I don't get justified because I am becoming more sanctified. Justification has to happen first, and it must be by God, where he declares me to be righteous. He gives me Christ's righteousness. I'm forgiven of my sins. God does it. It's done and done. And then sanctification is what follows. And it's that process. Now listen, please, catch this, which means a couple things. Number one, you got to give people a little bit of a break and allow the process of sanctification to take place. Sometimes we will look at somebody who has said about themselves, "I've been justified. I've trusted Christ as Savior," but their life is not as far along on this spectrum of sanctification as we think it ought to be, and our immediate response can be, well, then they're probably not justified. Okay, time out. Justification, sanctification. Connected? Yes. The same thing? No. So that it's not my responsibility to look at a person and go, they're not sanctified, therefore they're not justified. And we give time for this sanctification to happen. Second part of this. Sometimes you have to give yourself a little bit of space depending on your personality. Meaning, allow for the fact that God is working constantly in you. Sometimes people who have been justified, who are in this process of sanctification, can over time almost get discouraged about the walk of the Christian life because they think, oh, I messed up again. All right, yes. Thank God that you're convicted about messing up. But understand this. Sanctification is something that happens over time. It takes time for the sanctification process to take place. Now, that is not to say, listen to me, that is not to say that I, as a person, am supposed to say, it takes time, sanctification takes time, therefore, it doesn't matter how I live right now, God will eventually take care of this, it just takes, no. I'm supposed to continue on in this process of sanctification. However, it is something that takes time, so be aware of that. Now, the reason why I mentioned justification and sanctification is because justification and sanctification is what Ephesians 5:8 is dealing with. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to quote for you the verse, and I'm going to stop partway through, and I want you to tell me if the part of the verse that I'm quoting has to do with justification or sanctification. All right, here we go. The Bible says, for you were sometimes darkness, now are you light in the Lord. Okay, stay with me. Justification or sanctification? Which? Justification. That is, I used to be in the dark about things. I used to not get it. I was not in Christ. I was in darkness. I lived for self. I lived for anything I wanted to do or I didn't understand. Then I became light in the Lord. I became a child of God. I have been justified. Okay. Then the rest of the verse says, walk as children of light. Justification or sanctification? Walking as children of light is that process where I'm becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. It is predetermined by God that this is going to happen. This is what the intent of justification in this life is all about, which, by the way, culminates when this robe of flesh I drop and rise to meet my Savior in the skies. Then the sanctification is complete. Then I know, even as I am known, I am given a glorified body, and the desire towards sin, though I have been justified, is gone because this flesh is gone as well, and I'm given a new body. Okay. Now, having said all of this, last night I mentioned that Ephesians 5:8 is a summary verse. It's a verse where the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is summarizing what it is he has been explaining to the people at the church at Ephesus. And he is basically reminding them about the importance of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. That is, he's dealing with justification or sanctification, becoming like Christ. Which one? Sanctification. Where we live out what we are. And he is summarizing what he taught the chapter before. So turn back to Ephesians chapter 4, if you need to turn the page. And we're going to look at Ephesians 4, verses 22, 23, and 24. Because in these three verses, he gives to us basically the steps. Are you listening? The steps that are a part of this process of sanctification where I begin to live like what I am. And let me repeat what I said last night. For some of this, you're going to think to yourself, Brother Tim, I know this, I already know this. But there's going to be a part of this that I think for many of you, what is said and what is taught here in this passage might surprise you a little bit. And for some of you, it's going to be like a weight off of your shoulders that you didn't even know you were bearing. It's going to help you because it did me, and so I'm assuming it will you as well. All right, Verse 22, verse 23, verse 24. Each one of these verses give us a step in the process of sanctification. In fact, in order to make sure that we're together on this, because it's Sunday morning, and I don't know how much coffee you have had yet, so I'm going to invite you to respond a little bit more throughout the Sunday school hour. I'm going to read verse 22, and then I want you to tell me what the first step in the process of sanctification, where I'm becoming more and more like Christ, as a justified person, becoming more and more like Christ, I want you to tell me what the first step is. I'll give you a hint. It's two words, and it's right in the verse. Okay? Just wait for a minute. We're going to read this. So verse number 22 teaches us the first step in the process of sanctification. And the Bible here says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Okay, first step in the process of sanctification according to verse number 22 is? You guys are brilliant. Well done. Okay. Verse 23 gives us the second step. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Second step? Be renewed. Well, thank you. Well done. And then verse number 24 says, this is the third step, and that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Third step is? Okay. All right. Now, verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation. Okay, look up here, would you please? When the Bible talks about putting off concerning the former conversation, that means putting off, stopping, getting rid of former conversation. That is the old lifestyle. In other words, what you were and what you did before you were justified by faith. Before you came into a relationship with God through faith in Christ, before you were declared to be righteous and this process of sanctification began, the Bible says, okay, first step in this process of becoming more and more like Christ is stop doing stuff that you're not supposed to do, the stuff that was from darkness, the stuff that is anti-God, that is against his character and against the light of his word. Put off concerning the former conversation, the stuff that before you accepted Christ, you didn't even see any big deal about it, or you thought, oh, that's just for religious people, or you thought it really doesn't really matter all that much. Well, the Bible says, now that you're light in the Lord, I'm supposed to put that off. Okay, skip verse step number two, go to the third step, and the third step says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is, start doing things that are after God, the things that are right. That is, you have to replace what you did that was wrong with things that are right. Okay, now thus far, you're going, Brother Tim, yes, we know. Don't do bad stuff. Start doing good stuff. That's the Christian life. That's part of what you do as a Christian is you stop doing bad and start doing, or stop doing good, bad. Try again. Speak slower, Tim. Stop doing bad, start doing good, and that's the way it's supposed to go. Okay. Stick with me. Verse number 23. When it came to light for me, absolutely changed my thought process and a couple of the things that I'm going to mention to you in a minute that so has benefited me and is benefiting me in this process of sanctification. Because sometimes putting off and putting on in between those is me not wanting to. So, force it, or is something missing? Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, stop for a second. Somebody give me another word that you think of when you hear the word renewed. Think of what you think of. You can just say it out loud. Go ahead. Reset. Well, okay, I can see that. That's part of it. Revive, I like that word. Again, another word that you have to define a little bit, but yes, it's a good word. Anybody else? Well, okay, I heard make new. Here's the word that comes to my mind, renovated. which has all of these things involved in it. Renovated, that is to wash it, to take out the old, to make something that is new, to take out, renovate. You know, if you buy a house that's old and you have to take out everything that's bad and replace it, you renovate the place. Still the same bones, still looks the same, but there's a change. Okay, now listen to the significance of verse 23. Please, if your brain is wandering, right now is the time to bring it back in. And Pastor, I'm hoping you're still watching these kiddos over here, seeing who's sitting up real good and straight and listening so that I know who to give this to at the end. Okay. And be renewed, the Bible says, in the spirit of your mind. Okay, let me ask you a question. When the Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, is that active or is it passive? Now stop before you answer. Active or passive? Active meaning I do it. Passive meaning it's done to me. Active or passive, which? Okay, this is great. I love this. This is so good. How many of you vote active? How many of you vote passive? And how many of you refuse to vote just in case you're wrong about it? Okay. You're a bunch of pansies. All right. Okay, you ready? It's passive. Okay, listen. Now, here's the reason why many of us said active is because it is something that we must allow to be done. But friend, listen to me. The renovating of your mind is not something that you can do, or rather the renovating of the spirit of your mind is not something you can do. And be renewed. Literally, be ye being renewed. It's not something you do, it's something that's done. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that it's not just change your mind, but rather change the very desire or way that you think. Well, that's not something I can do. Let me prove this to you in a simple way. How many of you, if I were to offer to take you out to eat after service today, and I would buy you one of two things. I will either buy you a well-seasoned, nicely cooked steak or hamburger, or else I would buy you steamed, no salt, no cheese broccoli. One or the other. That's all you get. How many of you would honestly choose, I'm not talking like your health-wise, but this is what you desire. What you'd like is the well-seasoned steak or hamburger. How many of you would choose that? And how many would choose the broccoli, because that's what you would like? Okay, there are a couple, and they always make me nervous. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to clap my hands. And when I count to three and clap my hands, listen, honestly, I want you to change the way that you think, the spirit of your mind, the desires that you have. I want you to change that so that if you normally like steak and hamburgers, you're going to want broccoli. And broccoli people are going to want steak and hamburgers. I don't want you just to say that's what you want. I want you to honestly change what you want. Here we go. One, two, three. Okay. Now, how many of you, honestly, if I were to buy you either steak, hamburger, or broccoli, how many of you would choose steak or hamburger? How many would choose broccoli? All right, you put your hands down. And look up here. Here's the deal. Now, I'm being a little silly just for the sake of illustration, but stick with me. Look, it's because you can't change what you want just by saying, I'm going to want something different from now on. Okay, but hear me. Listen to this. In verse 23, the Bible says it's a command in a passive form, and be renewed, renovated in the spirit of your mind, in the way that you think, in the things that you desire. Now, please get this because this is so important. This is one of the things that sets Christianity apart from religions. It is the fact that the design of God is not only that we would be justified and saved, and not just that we would stop doing bad and start doing good. And listen to this. The power of the cross and of the risen Christ involves the very fact that God's plan is to change the very wants that we have. He wants to change our desires. He wants to move us from wanting things that are wrong to desiring things that are right, from going from darkness to light, not just because, well, I'm forcing myself because good people do things that are right, but rather involved in all of this is that God himself moves into us in the person of the Holy Spirit and renovates the way that we desire, the way that we think, so that I begin to want the things that are after Christ and not the things that are after this world. This is huge. It's not just a power of positive thinking thing where you stop doing bad, start doing right, and eventually maybe you'll start doing things that are right, and you might even maybe just before you go to heaven, you might like it a little bit. That's not it at all. Listen, God gave himself to live inside of us to do a renovating work, and we don't have to live. People who have been justified by faith in Christ don't have to live their lives, well, we're just going to struggle with sin for the rest of our lives. And man, it'd be nice when we get rid of this flesh. We won't have to, defeat is sure. Victory in Jesus, but defeat is sure. Okay, listen to me. Now, please, please, please. I'm not making light of the fact that there is a struggle and that the sanctification is a process. And I'm not suggesting, nor does the Bible, that there comes a place where you no longer ever have any problem with sin again. As long as you have the flesh, you may have a little bit of, you will still have a bent towards things that are wrong. But what I'm telling you is that the power of Christ in you involves God changing the very desires that you have from doing that which is wrong to doing that which is right. But the reason why many of us don't experience the desire for things that are right and we still struggle and struggle and struggle with the things that are wrong is because we don't allow the Holy Spirit of God to change the way that we think. We don't invite it. We don't submit to it. We don't surrender. We don't come to the place where we say, Holy Spirit of God, please renovate my mind. What we do instead is we force ourselves to do what is right. And when we're in front of the right kind of people, we do it. But then when we're home, we're a totally different person. And the reason why is because the renovating work isn't being done the way God intends for it to be done. And so if you're thinking to yourself, that's right, I need to start making myself do what's right when I'm home, you're missing the point. Now, I will say that when we know to do right, even if we don't feel like it, we ought to do right. But all the while understanding that the work and plan of God, the God who can do, is to change us from wanting bad to wanting right. Now, please catch this because this is important. The Holy Spirit of God has a tool that he uses to renovate the way that we think. And I'm curious if anybody happens to know what the tool is that the Holy Spirit of God uses in order to renovate the way that we think so that we begin to desire things that are right instead of things that are wrong. Does anybody have any idea what the tool is? Do you know right here? What do you think it is?
Bible!
Well done, both of you. Great job. Okay. Well, the children are getting it if you're not. Seriously. Okay. So the Holy Spirit, now this is truly, the power of the Word of God is not just that it makes valid arguments for Christianity. The power of the Word of God is that the Holy Spirit of God uses it to renovate the very person that we are. Amen. And the things that we desire. Process, yes. So that's not like I read the entire Bible through and then I never desire anything that's wrong again. It's not that. But in this process, as I am putting off and as I am submitted purposefully to the renovating work of the Spirit of God, then God changes the very desires I have so that I can put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, let me tell you how this changed my life, how it helped me. So that when I'm struggling at home with my family, when my kids have pushed the right button, and I feel the temperature rising, and it's not a holy anger that I'm experiencing. It's not, come on, do right, do right, do right, do right, do right. It's, Spirit of God, I need you to renovate the way that I think. I need you to change my wanter. I need you to change my desires. And that is a prayer that the Holy Spirit is able to do and is willing to do. What a change it makes. Now, the rest of chapter number 4 is basically specific examples. I have time to give you one of them, but I would encourage you to read through. Look down at, let me get to the passage. Look down at verse number, let's see, 422. Let's go to verse number 28, because this one shows the truth in a significant way. Verse 28 tells us, talks to us about this process. That is, it shows us what to put off, what to put on, and then how our mindset changes. I'm going to share this with you, and our time is done. Look at verse 28. The Bible says this, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Okay, class. What is it, according to verse number 28, what is it that I'm to put off? Okay, you ready? Hey, stealing is bad. Aren't you glad you came to Sunday school this morning for that, huh? Now, honestly, though, hey, could there be someone who's been justified who would struggle with stealing? But it's not right, is it? It's darkness. Taking time from your employer that's not yours for personal business that doesn't belong to you, stealing from the government, taking from people around you. Sure. It's something that any of us, people in school, stealing answers that are not your own. That is, stealing is bad, but it's darkness. But, all right, what is it that I'm supposed to put on? Don't steal, but rather labor, work. That's good. In other words, working is good. Okay, now stop and listen to this. Because here's how I would write the verse. This is the Thompson version of it. Hey, don't steal to get the things that you want. Work to get the things that you want. Yes? But it's not what the verse says. Okay, listen to the significance of this. Subtle but significant. Don't steal, that's darkness. Work, that's good, so that you may have to give to him that needeth. Okay, would you look up here, please? Let me ask you a question. Is it your desire to work in order to give to people that need? Or is it your desire to work in order to have the stuff that you want? Well, you're saying nobody works just for the purpose of giving to people that need. I know, but Jesus Christ did. So that the renovation process that the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in us is so significant as to change our desires from self-pleasing to that which Christ showed and had. And that's not something you can fake. But that's what the Holy Spirit of God will do in us when we say, please, renovate the way that I think. Change my wants, please. You're not a dolphin anymore. You're a New England Patriot. I realize that the illustration breaks down, all right? You were darkness, now you're light. Walk as children of light. Oh, you want to know how to do that? Well, put off, and you got to put on. But let me tell you something. The absolute center of this process of sanctification is that we allow, with hands up and hearts open, for the Spirit of God to renovate the very desires that we have. You have a problem with your tongue? That's because the Holy Spirit doesn't have control of your wanter. But He will renovate you so that you want to speak things that are right. You see the steps? You see the process? It's what God wants to do. And Father, I pray that you would do it in us, please. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask these things. Amen.